I am always encouraged. I'm always blessed. Even when things don't seem to go well, all is well with my soul because the Bible tells me yes. And when we start looking through his scripture, through his word, when we start understanding what it is to be family, what it is to walk in the Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit, to see the fruits of the Spirit, it doesn't matter how many times we go over it, there's always something that will be new. And for those that have been walking in this church for a while, we would have ministered on these passages at other times. But I think because we're looking at being connected, there was a thought process some years ago, and it's a shame that I didn't keep the messages, but it was to be rooted in the Word, connected to the vine, protected by His Spirit, and there was another one, I can't remember what it is. But if we're not rooted in the Word, then we won't be able to stay connected to the vine. So we need to be rooted and grounded in what God says. And before I go into my umpteen scriptures I want to share with you, because we have our Easter celebration, obviously, in a couple of weeks' time, I'm probably going to be put on a short leash, so that I'll probably be given the opportunity to share the message and then sit down and listen. So I want to say to church that this past 20 years, whether you've been with us for 5 minutes, 5 years, or 20 years, this is a tribute to us, to the Grace community. As Emma said, global, there are men and women that have been touched. When we look at the Ministry of Grace, it's written down on these two boards here. And when we look at what it says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. He's also upon you. Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. It says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and the release from darkness for the prisoners. Now that is the gospel, the full gospel, nothing missing, nothing short. And the privilege we've had over these 20 years, whether it's from the pulpit or whether it's from the congregation, is to share that message, and you have touched lives that are lives that have been touched around the world. So it's not about how large this church is. It's about how big our heart is and how big our God is. So I want to thank you while I have that opportunity to thank you. Without the congregation, there is no fellowship, is there? It's us. It's what God is doing in us and through us. So, fruit of the Spirit. I said I would look at it. So, it says this in 22 of Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus has crucified the flesh, the passions, the desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying each other. Fruit of the Spirit. It's something that the Bible talks about at length. I'm trying to make you feel comfortable by saying I'm going to put a timer on, but it's just to make you feel good because I really don't look at it. No, I jest. I do look at it. I don't always see it. Fruit of the Spirit is what I want to look at, what I want us to look at. Just to be reminded, if you're Christians, and I assume looking around we all are, Spirit-filled, Bible-bashing Christians. Yeah? In the sense that we believe that God is who He says He is, that the Word says we can do what the Word says we can do, that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that, but we also know that we're imperfect people serving a perfect God. Yes? So we need to be reminded, as in it says in Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's us. We kind of, I don't know how about you, but when I first became a Christian, I wasn't like some of my colleagues, and I used to think, is there something wrong with me? Let me explain. I would be in a prayer meeting. Now, please get my heart on this. I'm not criticizing, because I understand where this person was coming from. But this person said, Lord, I'm not worthy to come into your presence. And I'm thinking, well, I am. And I thought I was being belligerent. But what I meant was, if the cross and the work on the cross, if that was finished, and I was made new. My old self died, and I've been made new in Christ Jesus. If that's true, yes, then he made me worthy to come into his presence. Yes? So in the right context, we need to understand that we are dearly loved. It says, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, there's a word that we can sometimes miss out, is yourselves. That means we have a responsibility. When I very often say about worship, worship is a garment. Put on the garment of praise. You know, if I encourage you by taking my jacket off, and this is praise, I need to put it back on. If I want to praise, I have to do something. It says here, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy, set apart, holy, dearly loved, clothe yourselves with what? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. It's not always easy, is it? Or is it just me? This is why you need to pray for your pastor. And then it goes on to say this in 13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive them. Why? It doesn't say that. My words. As the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. It's like, if you want to put this into a picture form, it's like these flowers, separate flowers, are beautiful on their own. Bring them together and tie them up with a bow, it becomes a bouquet. It becomes something that you can see from afar. That's what love does with all these virtues. It ties them together. But there's a word here that I've always been fascinated by, I've always been intrigued by, and always dug into, and it's the word to bear with one another. And as I look through that word, I want you to see how important it is when it says to bear with one another. If you imagine, and this is the illustration I like to use, I looked at a documentary once about the old coal mines. When they was closing down the mines, they had some old footage. And what would happen in the days where there wasn't the mechanics that they have today? They would shore up with timbers the sides of the walls, and then put bearers across the top to stop the coal from collapsing on the people working. Can you visualize that? And then they would go in with hammer and chisel and pickaxe, and they would just pick away at it. Well, every now and again, there would be a trauma, something that would happen, and the pit wall would shake, the outside would either fall in or out, and then the bearers would collapse, and at times killing all those that were trapped. Now, there's one story about a man who he could read the times. He felt the tremor, and he saw this bearer, this crossbeam, start to crack. So what this man did was he got underneath it, put his back on it, and bore the weight. He took the weight of what was above so that his colleagues could escape. And when it says bear with each other, forgive one another, it's not just going there. It's bigger than that. It's not about what they've done. It's about who we are and what we've received. So when God calls us to bear with each other, for me to bear with you, for you to bear with me, for us to bear with our friends, our neighbours and our enemies, it's to hold the weight. And sometimes there's a heaviness of sin that people around us are carrying because they've not been set free. We're to stand in the gap. We're to be those that bear the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the forbearance. It sounds good, but it's hard to live out at times. But I want to encourage us by saying, you know, when we clothe ourselves with compassion, we put on that compassion. It's like the armor of God. We're putting it on so that when the fiery darts come, they're extinguished. Put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness. Help me, Lord. Patience. Bear with each other. Forgive one another. So let's bear with each other. Because if we're going to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, we need to understand what it truly means when the Bible says, clothe yourselves. Because I don't know about you, but over the 36 years that I've been a Christian, I've been challenged, and I know you have, because how do I know you've been challenged? Because you're breathing. Because we're all challenged, aren't we? You know, when someone says, how are you? We're good. But we have our challenges. I woke up with a pain across my chest thinking, okay, have I overworked? Am I about to have a heart attack? What's going on? We're all challenged, aren't we? But we're good. Well, God is good. We are good. In the sense that God showers his goodness upon us. So as we look at the fruits of the Spirit over the next weeks or whatever, just come back down to basics. And what's it mean for me to be fruitful? And I want to suggest none of these things will accomplish if we don't stay connected to the vine. But we need to be rooted to his word. And the reason I say rooted to his word, using some of my old messages, is because if we're rooted to the world, we can't be uprooted very easily. We will be steadfast, so that when the wind of adversity comes to try and blow us off course, which it does so often, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, our families, or it's our friends, or it's our enemies, come to blow us off course, we're to stay connected. Connected, rooted to the word, but connected to the vine. Remember, we are the branches. He is the vine. And if we stay connected to the vine, then we'll take the fruit of the Spirit and we'll be able to run with it. We'll be able to say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. And when we look at the whole parable of the vine, the cleaning of it is just cutting off the dead wood. That's all it is. Cutting off the dead wood. Not the branch, unless it's a branch that shouldn't be there, but just pruning it so it bears more fruit. This is a portion of scripture that we should know. It's read out at weddings. It's read very often when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit and love. It's in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal, just a noise. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. Why? Because love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. So the next time my wife says to me, do you love me? And I look with this terror on my face, going, what's the question? Because Susan, this is taped, she will say, tell me 10 things you love about me. I'm stuck after one. And then I test her and say, you tell me. And she goes, da, da, da. But love is patient. Love is kind. I can say I love you because I can show you through my patience, through my kindness, the fact that I won't envy. You know, when we look at this portion of scripture, it does not envy. It's so hard to celebrate success with colleagues, with family, with church. And what I mean by that is there's something programmed into some people to always go, well, that's not fair. How come you're being blessed and I'm not? That's not fair that you can have a new house, that you can be given a pay rise. What about me? But it says it does not envy. And that's a sign of love. Love in a family should always be encouraging. Not always approving, but always encouraging. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. It does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So when we start to look at this whole area of the fruit of the Spirit and love, you know, it's so easy to just focus on this romantic Hollywood love where I say this every time I speak about this. Two people running on a beach into each other's arms in slow motion. It just don't work that way, does it? You know, we try this, what would happen? I would trip, fall. In surgery, broken nose. That's not what love is. Love is patient and it's kind. It does not envy. And so often, some people find it difficult to express the words, but they live out the actions. So if you want to know if someone loves you, see what the fruit of the Spirit is within their lives. And that's a challenge for me and it's a challenge for us. So as we move forward, I want to continue to encourage us just by looking at this portion of scripture, these portions of scripture that's talking about love, That's talking about love being a fruit. And it's good fruit because we are good. Why? Because God made us that way. It says here, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Now that's a portion of scripture that we're very, very familiar with. John 3:16, we're very familiar with that portion of scripture. God so loved the world. How did he show his love? How did God show his love for the world? He gave his one and only son. But here it goes on, it says, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. You read that, there's a positive, there's a negative, but let's go right back to the beginning. Whether you're someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ or you don't, God so loved. That gift was for you as well. For those that will say, yes, I accept that gift of eternal life, or no, I reject it. God still loved the world to give his one and only son. So when we look at life and we look at love, this word love and the fruit of the Spirit, and we look at our own lives, we're to give of ourselves. You know, the Bible says that you no longer live, Christ lives in you. So that means if you no longer live, that means you're dead. But you're dead to sin and transgressions, and you're alive to the Spirit of God. So we have the capacity to be fruit and fruitful and more fruitful. We have that capacity. Why? Because the old has gone and the new has come. So my encouragement for us as church, as we mature through the ages, is to be fruitful. Just to be fruitful. God so loved the world that he gave. And we can give. We can give of our time and our resources. We can give of our finances. We can give of our prayers. We can give of our humility. You know what? Sometimes a smile when you're at the cash register. One smile being given away causes the other person to smile back if they want to or not. It's infectious. So we can give in order to show the fruit of the Spirit. Because the love of the Lord is in us. And it should be anyway, if we're Christians. We have the love of the Lord in us. In your unfailing love, this is in Exodus 15:13. In your unfailing love, in God's unfailing love, you will lead the people. God, you will lead the people you have redeemed. Whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the truth is the truth. It says, in your strength you will guide them into your holy dwelling. So his unfailing love will lead us. So goes before us, so we follow, and will guide us, beside us, encouraging us. So I look at these words, and it doesn't say it in scripture. It simply says lead and guide. But just think about it. To lead is to be in front of. So come follow me and I will make you. And then to guide is to show somebody. I'll guide you which way to go. Go in the way that I instruct you. So because of his unfailing love, he'll lead us and he'll guide us because we're his redeemed. You know, so often in life, and I hope there's nobody in our church, but there are people who are Christians who don't believe that they deserve the grace of God. Well, you can't be a Christian and not believe in the grace of God. If you're someone who believes that God might exist, then I can understand that. But if you're a Christian, if you've been forgiven, if you've been redeemed, if you've been born of his Spirit, if you've been set free, if you understand that you have a blood covenant with God, then you are redeemed. And if you are redeemed, he will lead you and he will guide you because of his love. So when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will allow us to accept the leading of the Holy Spirit, accept the guidance of God. That means to guide us, to correct us, to direct us, but also gives us the ability to be fruitful when we're leading and guiding others. The Bible puts it like this. It says, if a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both fall into a pit. Don't go to a concert with Mike and ask him what the music is like, because he won't be able to hear it. So if a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both fall in the pit. So if we're spiritually blind and we try to lead others, then we're doomed to destruction. But God's love in us will lead people to life and life in all its fullness. And we're to take that love that God has given us, and we're to lead and to guide others. And maybe in these next, I'm trying to work out my age, you know, I can say 20 years. Well, that would be some going, wouldn't it? In these next years, that God will give us the opportunity to lead and to guide and to encourage even more than he has done so far. In Titus 2:11, it says, "It's for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." He's offered salvation to all people. It teaches us to say no to the ungodliness and worldly passions and to live in self-control, upright, godly lives in this present age, as today. It's not then, it's not in the future, it's this present age, today, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. So as we lay hold of the word love, as we lay hold of the word to be self-controlled, we should realize that we have this blessed hope that we can walk in today and we have in the future. We have a hope for a resurrection. Nobody hopes for something they already have. Hope is for something that we know we will receive in the future. But love, the love that God lavished on me and you, should propel us to allow him to lead us and guide us in all righteousness. And righteousness is simply to have a right standing with him. Here I am, Lord, forgive me. Here I am, Lord, use me. Here I am, Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. Here I am, Lord, show me, guide me, lead me. And he'll do that because he loves you. So when we talk about love being a fruit, we need to understand what it really means to love someone. To love someone isn't always this... we know that in the English language there's one word for love, but when we look in scripture, we know there's more words for love. There's the love of the father. There's a love that a husband will have for his wife and vice versa. There's a love that you'll have for your children. There's different concepts when it comes to love, but the love that we're talking about here when it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is that sacrificial love. That love will say, you don't deserve it, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Why? Because the Bible tells us that we've been forgiven, so we should forgive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation. It teaches us to say no. And there's a thing that we can understand as we're learning more about this word love. God's word teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live a self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness. You see, we died. We died to what? We died to sin. We died to sin and we're alive to righteousness. So in Christ, we have a right standing. Now, does it mean that you'll get everything right? I don't think it does. Does it mean that you'll always be forgiven if you ask? That I believe it does. Does it mean that everything in life, the Bible says it like this. When we talk about fire, you got the purification of fire and you got the fire of judgment. So be careful on which fire you ask for. We want to be purified by God's Spirit, but don't want to be consumed by it, do we? But if you're a Christian, this is the good news. You cannot be consumed by the fire of God, but you will be tested. It says the things like the straw, the stubble, the hay, the wood, all the combustible things, when fire comes upon it, it will be destroyed. But the gold, the silver, the precious stones may be scorched a bit, but they'll be refined. And that's us as Christians. You know, the love of God is in us. And as he refines us, as he tests us, his glory will shine through us so that we can bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit. Abundant fruit. And the fruit of the Spirit is, the first one is we're going to look at is love. And like I said, if you want to be fruitful, then we have to be patient, we have to be kind, we have to be slow to anger. We have to be those that will be a blessing to those around us. In 1 Corinthians 3, it's gone quiet. 1, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. So here's something that we can miss. He's talking to the church. He's not talking to the world, he's talking to us, the church. Because he says infants in Christ. Well, they're in Christ. If they're in Christ, they're a new creation. I give you milk, not solid food, for you are not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What after all is Apollos? Who is Apollos? And who or what is Paul? Only servants for whom we came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. No one who plants or the one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. When we look at scripture, we could say, well, what's the context between this portion of scripture and being fruitful? Well, we're in it together. You know, we're co-laborers in his vineyard. So if you imagine, and using another metaphor of a garden, that one of us may be one that pulls the weeds out. Another one may be one that removes the rock and the rubble. Someone else needs to produce water. They need to get the water connected, and we need to have a way to get the water to the plants. Another one may say, I'll produce the seeds. I'll purchase the seeds so that when the weeds are removed, when the rocks are gone, when the water's been installed, I'll provide the seeds. And someone else comes along and says, I'll scatter that seed. And someone else says, I'll tend that vineyard. Well, that's body ministry, and that's done because of love. It's done because of love. That's the fruitfulness of Christian living, is when we all recognize that we're all co-workers in God's service, and you are God's field, God's building. And then it goes on into another sermon. So I want us to continue to look at being fruitful, being those that will walk in the Spirit, stay in step with the Spirit, take about this fruitfulness of love, it's patient, it's kind. It says here in John 21:15, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, you know this story, do you love me? Just as my wife says to me when I'm least expecting it, do you love me? And I go, of course I do. She says, well, feed. No, she doesn't. Buy me more flowers. Do you love me? You just imagine God saying to you, do you love me? And you go, you know I do. But he said something first. He said, more than these. More than these. More than your family. More than your friends. More than your bank balance. More than everything. Do you love me? More than these. I think I do, Lord. But Peter says, yes, Lord. You know that I love you. Then feed my lambs. So a sign of love is to feed the young Christians that we come into contact with. Not to chastise them and say, you fool, you shouldn't have done that. Have you not read that it says in Malachi 6, verse 4? Don't even got a clue what that is. But you're trying to, don't you realise that you have to come to church in a suit? Don't you realise that you have to be? No. The Bible says, come as you are. You can't stay as you are. But we're to feed the lambs. We're to say to those that are young in the faith, and it doesn't matter how old they are, young in the faith, we're going to feed you. And we're going to feed them because we love the Lord. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. And then Jesus says again to Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And take care of my sheep." So you've got the lambs and you've got the sheep. The sheep are the maturer Christians. So we're to look after one another. And as we look after one another, we show the love of God. So if you're concerned about someone who's unwell, if you're concerned about someone you haven't seen for a while, if you just pick up the phone and say, "How are you?" If you just say to someone else, "Let's just pray for so-and-so." You do that, why? Because you love them. It's not this big thing, is it? We don't need to think outside the box. That's love. That's what compels us to do this, is love. Because in this portion of Scripture, when it comes to feeding, when it comes to being spiritual, natural, when it comes to giving of your time and your talents and your resources, that's an act of love. So we don't need to illustrate much more than that. It's an act of love to feed others, to care for others. The third time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And feed my sheep." So, we show the fruit of the Spirit. We show the love that God has given us by what we do, by how we act, by how generous we are, by how patient we are, long-suffering. Look at that word, digest it, expand on it, long-suffering. That's a difficult word, but at the root and the end of that is love. Why? Because God so loved us. He gave himself for us, so we should do the same for others. So as I talk about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want us to understand that it is a fruit. And God wants us to be fruitful. In Hosea 14, 8, the bottom it says, "I am like a flourishing juniper. Your fruitfulness comes from me." The Lord is talking here to an individual. You know, "I'm like a flourishing juniper, but the fruitfulness comes from him." You know, God wants us to be fruitful. He gives us everything we need to be fruitful. We are in a fertile land. We are his people. We are the redeemed of the Lord. So we are capable of being fruit bearers. It says in Psalm 1:1, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners. Stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night." That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. If you imagine you've got a tree planted by streams of fresh, flowing, clean, nutritious water, the roots will go down into that water and suck up everything that's needed. That's what God is saying about me and you. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do, prosper. You know, as we're rooted in the Word, okay, the roots go down deep and pull out the nutrient of the water that's needed. As we're rooted in the Word, we're connected to the vine, we stay close to Christ, allow him to prune us and discipline us and correct us and direct us and lead us, we will be fruit bearers. So as we look at this first fruit of God's purpose in our lives is love. We will love others because we'll understand that he loves us. Now this is not a difficult message, is it? It's quite simple, but it's God's word. And if it's God's word, then it'll work in our lives. Because it's food, it's nourishment, it's milk to some people and meat to others, but it's still nourishment. It'll cause us to grow. For this message, it says in 1 John 3:11, this message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. That's the message we heard from the beginning. Love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. Have you ever wondered, when you look at Cain and Abel, have you ever said to yourself, well, what was the difference between their gifts? Well, the Bible tells us, because I'm glad you asked. It says this: do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. That's the answer. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates, that's a big word, isn't it, hate? Because there are people I dislike, if I'm honest. There are people I would never trust with my family or my finances or my health or my well-being, but I don't hate them. See, when it uses this word hate, it's quite a deep-rooted word. And I suggest that none of us should have that hatred for anyone. Because if we do, the love of God's not in us. So we need to repent and get right with God. Hates a brother or sister is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know that we love. This is how we know what love is. So if you want to know what love is, the Bible tells us yet again. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. Sorry, not my words, but his words. So as we look at being fruitful, sometimes we deny ourselves in order to bless someone else. A final scripture is John 13:34, where it says this: a new command I give you. A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So when we look at the commandments of God, so often we can be, if we don't read it properly in context, the scripture before, the scripture behind, and everything around it, we can miss the point. And we can ask God questions. Well, how do I do this? How do I become humble? How do I be more generous? How do I be more loving and caring? And then when we look through scripture, if we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we'll hear exactly what God says. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And we know that we can love each other and we can love the world because God loved us. We know that we can give because he gave for us. We know that we can supply others' needs because God supplied our needs. We know that we can be long-suffering because of his long-suffering for us. I imagine, doesn't say it in scripture, but imagine when God's got his book and he's looking through it and he's going, Andrew, okay, not yet. Let's be patient. Are you that patient? You know, you're waiting for your son or your daughter or your friend to change. Long suffering. You know, that's a sign of love. Let's never give up. That's a sign of love. Let's never say never. Never say that person will never become a Christian because they're horrible. Never say never because that's love. And if we have the love of the Father inside of us, it will ooze out of us. So that's our first fruit this week is love. It's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering. It does not keep record of wrong. So if I've ever offended you over 20 years, you should have already forgotten it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that we are the redeemed. We may not feel it at times, but we are the redeemed. You've set us free. We've died, and now you live in us. So, Father God, we want to be fruitful, more fruitful. We want to be those that will walk in love, the love that you show us, the love that you've lavished upon us, that we may be those that will show the world who you are through us. So Lord, bless us, we pray. Amen. Thanks, Emma.